Let's pray. Lord, may you be with us now. Open your word to us. Open our hearts to you. Bless us, we pray, Lord, and may we bless you. In your name, amen. During vacation, not last week, but the week before, Linnell and I cobbled together a fence to put around our apple tree. Deer have been eating our apple tree. And so we cobbled together a fence. We drove in 10-foot poles. And then we took what used to be the dog kennel for my mom and tied that to some of the poles around, I don't know, 3/4, 2/3 of the tree. And then we took some wire fence and covered the rest. It was a very hot day. Very hot day. By the time we were done, I smelled like a man. I was a tad ripe, to say the least. Poor Linnell. So what did I do? Obviously, I took a shower. Are there times, spiritually speaking, when our souls are a tad ripe and we need a shower? And of course, the answer obviously is yes. Obviously, that is the case. This was the case for David in our psalm today, Psalm 51. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 51. And let's look at an episode in David's life when he badly needed a good shower and then what he did about it. So first, the time that David needed a good shower. Psalm 51 is one of the psalms, there's not a lot of them, but one of the psalms where it actually tells us what the occasion was behind the psalm. So the introduction to our psalm, it says, "To the choir master, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba," after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. You probably remember the incident, but just in case you don't, it's recorded in 2 Samuel 11. Bathsheba's husband is off to war fighting for David. And essentially this is what happened. David saw Bathsheba bathing, saw Bathsheba, desired Bathsheba, committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then when Bathsheba informed David that she was pregnant, David arranged to have her husband killed in battle so that he could hide his deed. Now, let's reflect on that for a moment. To start with, let's be blunt. Let's call it like it is. David was a pig. He was a pig. He saw Bathsheba bathing, and he wanted her, period. Lust. He was filled with lust. He lusted after Bathsheba. He was a pig. Worse than that, or just as bad at least, he abused his position of authority. He commanded that Bathsheba be brought to him. It was premeditated. He involved others in this deed and basically forced himself upon Bathsheba. It wasn't a moment of passion where they got carried away. He was in a position of authority and he abused it. Again, he was a pig. And then, as we mentioned already, he then arranged to have Uriah killed in battle so that no one would supposedly know what he had done. And if you don't know this, Uriah, according to 2 Samuel 23, was one of David's mighty men, a group of 30-plus people who were David's right-hand man. Talk about gratitude. It's like the Secret Service, so to speak. One of his prized soldiers. And because he lusted after his wife, he arranged to have Uriah killed. Talk about gratitude. I'll say it again. Let's just be real blunt. David was a pig. He definitely smelled like a man at this point in time, didn't he? He was a bit ripe. And this is the David whom God said, whom God described in 1 Samuel 13:14 as a man after his own heart, a man after my own heart, God said. David, who was one of the most godly people that ever lived, who was a man after God's own heart, in the text we're looking at today, was a pig. There's a warning in that, isn't there? If one of the most godly people who ever lived was capable of being a pig, then what does that say about you and me? We too are capable of doing things that stink to the high heavens. There's a warning there for you and me. A warning for everyone. Surely you've heard people say this, and I've heard this a number of times. Someone is caught stealing at work or in the home life, molests his children or molests some other neighbor's children, or whatever the case might be. Something horrific like that. And then you hear someone who knows the person very well, and they say, I just don't believe it. So-and-so is too nice of a person. They would never do anything like that. And when I hear people say that, I always, first of all, am kind of glad they say it. I kind of commend them in my mind for saying that, because they're loyal to the people that they know. And the world is so quick to jump to harsh conclusions. But I also think, you don't know. You don't know. The nicest people are capable of some of the most horrendous things. And the fact is, given the right circumstances, the most godliest of all people, like David, are capable of doing horrendous things. Man has fallen a lot further than we tend to think. So the point is, no matter who we are, sometimes we smell like a man. We stink. Our souls are rotten. And maybe we don't stink to the high heavens like David did in this case, or like a child molester would stink to the high heavens. But still, sometimes our soul's a bit ripe, isn't it? So no matter who we are, from time to time, spiritually speaking, we just plain need to take a shower. Amen? Wash the filth off of us. So how do we do it? How did David do it? By repenting, an old-fashioned word, by repenting. By admitting we have sinned and turning from our sin back to the Lord. When David was confronted by the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel 12:13, he said, I have sinned. I've sinned against the Lord. I'm guilty. I have sinned. And then, as we finally get to our psalm now, and then in the first two verses of our psalm, he said to the Lord, have mercy on me. He said, I have sinned in the previous verse. And then he said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me, he said, thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. In other words, David basically said, my soul stinks. Cleanse me, Lord, as only you can do. Cleanse me. Man cannot wash his soul clean. That can only happen by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so David is praying for mercy, as we ought to pray for mercy when our soul stinks. And of course, only Christ can wash us clean, but to be clean, we have to step into the shower and allow him to wash us. Amen. And there's the rub. There's the rub. Too many people in our society love what? They love to wallow in their sin. Even some within the church. They enjoy smelling like a man. They like being ripe. If you tell them what they are doing stinks to the high heavens, they will tell you to mind your own business. Who are you to judge? All I can say to them is this. When Linnell and I were building our fence, had she wanted to, she could have told me how ripe I was. She had every right. I was ripe. Facts are facts. If she would have said, I stunk, she would have been right. I stunk. If she would have offended me, does that make that any less true? Facts are facts. It doesn't matter whether I'm offended or not. And I'll tell you, there was nothing enjoyable about White Pie. It was really bad. When we just call things the way they are, we're not being offensive. People may be offended, but we're not being offensive. We're just saying things, calling things the way they are. And facts are facts. But unfortunately, people don't want to hear that today, do they? They don't want to hear it. Better not tell them they're a sinner. You'll hurt their little feelings. What a society. And then there's this whole culture of victimhood we have in our society. I copied this way back in 1993 when copiers weren't what they are today. Hopefully you can kind of read that. This is a Calvin and Hobbes comic. And in this comic, Calvin was always kind of like, you know Calvin and Hobbes, he's always kind of like a spoiled little brat. He says, "Nothing I do is my fault. My family is dysfunctional and my parents won't empower me. Consequently, I'm not self-actualized. My behavior is addictive, functioning in a disease process of toxic codependency." He's got it all down, doesn't he? "I need holistic healing and wellness before I'll accept any responsibility for my actions." And I love Hobbes' response. "One of us needs to stick his head in a bucket of ice water." And then Calvin says, "I love the culture of victimhood." That's our society. As we Americans go, nothing's our fault anymore. I'm a victim. If my soul stinks, not my fault. I'm a product of my environment. I'm a victim. And I got all these other reasons for why I am the way I am. I'm a victim. If you want God to cleanse the stink of man from you, you have to admit that you stink and turn to God from your sin for cleansing. And thankfully, when we do that, here's the good news. God washes us clean. Verse 7, David said, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Did your parents do this when you were young going to church? They see a little smudge on your face and what does mom do? Takes out the hanky from her purse or just her finger. Yeah, licks the hanky or licks her finger. And not the way God cleanses us. He cleanses us whiter than snow. He takes the power washer. So he doesn't just dab at the little spot on our cheek. He takes the power washer and washes us down to the core of our soul. And we are clean, thoroughly clean, whiter than snow. That's the good news. When we turn to God for cleansing, he cleanses us all the way, completely, thoroughly. And we're whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Praise God, amen. Praise God. So once again, the good news, when we repent of our sin, God thoroughly washes us clean. So what is your heart's deepest yearnings? What is your heart's deepest yearnings? Let me just speak for myself for a moment now. Few portions of scripture touch me as much as the next few verses we're going to look at. There are so many parts of scripture that touch me. And I know I say this all the time. This is one of my favorites. But there are few portions of scripture that touch me as much as the next three verses that we'll look at, verses 10 through 12. And they are my heart's deepest yearnings. Said David to the Lord, verses 10 through 12, after he had sinned, after he had sought forgiveness, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." That's the deep yearnings of my heart. That's the deep yearnings of my heart. How God has taken my self-centered, hard heart and created a clean heart within me, a soft heart within me, a tender heart within me. How he has done this over the years. I don't think there's a person I don't like. I really think if I knew Hitler, there would have been something I would have found about him that I would have liked. God has taken my heart and enabled me to find something good about everyone. I wasn't this way growing up. Not even close. And my deepest grief is that I cannot love God as I ought. There's always that divided heart. I don't love him the way that he deserves. How I yearn for the day when finally he'll take me home and I'll be able to love him with a pure heart. But every day, every year, he makes it more possible for me to love him more as I ought. Every day he makes my heart a little bit more like him. I want to be the type of person, I know I never will be, not in this life, but I want to be the type of person when God hurts, my heart bleeds. I want to be so in tune. I want my heart to be so in tune with God that when he hurts, I bleed. How he has changed my heart over the years, and may he continue to do so, one of my deepest yearnings. And how he has taken the discouraged, cynical person I was and renewed a right spirit within me. I was dead, walking around, but I was dead. And each day I'm made more alive by the grace of God. I look back to when I was a teenager. I can't even relate to that person anymore. I try to remember what I thought, what I felt when I was a teen, when I was so adrift spiritually. I try to crawl back into my head when I was a teenager. I can't relate to that person anymore. I can't do it. I'm different. He's renewed a right spirit within me. And even the person I was in my 20s or 30s or 40s, I can sort of relate to them, but not totally. Because each day he renews a spirit within me. And oh, that he will continue to do this all of my life. If I live to be 80, I hope and pray that I'm a better person than I am now at 65. If I live to be 100, I pray that I'm a better person than I was when I was 80. A deep yearning. Lord, oh, please continue to renew a right spirit within me. Or how about this one? Cast me not away from your presence. We are so complete when we're united with Christ. Amen? And yet how often, short attention span, how often I wander. Wandering this way, it's like when you take a two-year-old on a walk and you're walking down the path and it's going, he's going this way and then that way, and you're constantly bringing him back. That's me. That's me. And though I wander, he never deserts me, never leaves me, never gives up on me. He never takes his presence from me, never. Praise God, and may that always be the case. Or taking his Holy Spirit from me. You know, the Holy Spirit uses broken pots. He likes to use broken things to do his work. If the Holy Spirit were to stop using me, if he were to cast me aside and say, junk, and I am junk, but if he were to cast me aside and say, junk, I'm going to use someone else to do the work that I had planned to do with you, I think I would die inwardly. If life has no purpose, if we're not here for some reason, if life has no purpose, what is the purpose of living? If we're not here for a reason, why are we here? If the Holy Spirit is not going to work through us and in us and fill our life with meaning, why waste our time breathing breath? May he never take his Holy Spirit from me. Or how about this one? Restore to me the joy of my salvation. I am so stinking British. I really, really envy these people who just bubble all over with joy. And I don't mean they're bubble headed. I just mean that it's genuine. They just bubble all over with joy. And when you're around them, they just bubble out so much joy, it splashes on you and you feel blessed every time you're around them. They're just wonderful people. I love people like that. And I'm so jealous. I am so proper. So British. It's hard for me to even let go. But sometimes when I'm with the Lord, just Him and me, not here in church, not with you guys, but sometimes when I'm here or anywhere with the Lord by myself, I tell you, I want to cut loose and start dancing. And sometimes I want to cut loose and just go, Amen. Praise God. That's about as wild as I get. He fills us with joy, doesn't He? The joy of our salvation. And life is so heavy now. The way our country's going, all the things that happen in our individual lives, we all carry such burdens. And then we stop and think about our salvation. We stop and wallow in God's grace. And He restores our joy. What will we do without it? Again, a deep yearning. Lord, continue to restore to me the joy of my salvation. And finally, how He upholds us with a willing spirit. I'm not particularly anything. I'm not particularly gifted in any regard. Not particularly courageous and not particularly wise. Mr. Average. That's me, Mr. Average. And like everyone else, I get weary. Life wears me down. I wonder what this world is coming to and how we will cope, how our kids and grandkids will cope. I get weary. Like everyone else, I hear the pretty bells in our society and I'm tempted to follow their call. Like everyone else, I sometimes wrestle with doubt. Like everyone else, I get overwhelmed. And then once again, like so many times in the past, I hear God's voice say, Bob, I've got this. I've got it. I've got it. Chill. Oh, how I need God to constantly uphold me with His willing spirit. My deep yearnings. My deepest yearnings. How about you? Do any of these touch a nerve? Do you resonate with any of these? Stinking? Not good. Coming clean? Good. Going our own way? Not good. Walking with Christ, clinging to Him, returning to Him when we sin, good. All this stuff, good. What are the deep longings of your heart? I don't like it when my soul stinks, and sometimes my soul stinks so bad I don't even like being around myself. Do you have those moments? Or you can't even stand yourself because you stink so bad spiritually? You smell like a man. And then you go to Christ, you take a shower, you're cleansed by His blood, and life is good again. Is there an area in your life right now where you're a bit ripe? Or you smell like a man? If so, come clean. Let Christ's blood wash you clean. Step into the shower. Repent. You won't regret doing so. It feels so good, doesn't it? Let's pray. Few things surprise me as much as Your grace. Lord, how can You be gracious to us? It just amazes me that You you, God, would grace us. The only thing that comes close to amazing me as much as that is how stupid we can be as people. How quick we are to go our own way, how quick we are to stray, how quick we are to reject you, how quick we are to on and on and on and on. I don't think man's the sharpest tack in the box. But thankfully you have provided a way for us to be cleansed, and that's through the blood of your Son. We're sitting here today, Lord, and our soul stinks. Or a portion of our soul stinks, whatever the case might be. We turn to you. We confess our sin. You know we stink. We confess our sin. We don't hide it from you. We confess the way that we have perhaps strayed from you. We confess our apathy, whatever the case might be. We confess our pride. On and on. And we turn to you. Wash us whiter than snow, Lord. Wash us whiter than snow. Create in us a clean heart. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Fill us with your presence. In your name we pray. Amen.